This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Defending the Afghan withdrawal. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, July 9th, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Biden is standing by his decision to end the U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan, expressing confidence Afghan forces can counter gains by the Taliban.
Pfizer and its partner want regulators to authorize a COVID vaccine booster shot. Meanwhile, hospitalizations are rising as the Delta variant spreads.
A magnitude 6.0 earthquake struck the border between California and Nevada with shaking felt hundreds of miles away.
And with Europe opening for American tourists, some tips for getting around.
Well, I mean, this is obviously not a normal year. I mean, we had hoped that we'd be fully clear by the summer, but it's, you know, obviously we're not, both there in the States and both in Europe where I am right now. So I would say the first thing is that if you really want to come, and I mean, it can definitely work, but you have to keep in mind it's not a normal year.
Eric Silvers joins us from Milan, Italy, from the Wall Street Journal, with ideas on European travel this summer. Making the case that the U.S. has degraded the terrorist threat in Afghanistan, President Biden is defending his decision to end the U.S. military involvement there. He said yesterday that the military mission is on track to end August 31st. Despite gains by the Taliban, signs of strain on the Afghan military and grim forecasts from U.S. military and intelligence officials.
We did not go to Afghanistan to nation build. And it's the right and the responsibility of the Afghan people alone to decide their future and how they want to run their country.
The Taliban has taken over swaths of the country and confiscated military equipment that the U.S. left behind for its Afghan partners. Asked if a Taliban takeover was inevitable, Mr. Biden said, no, it is not, adding, I trust the capacity of the Afghan military. Separately, the president said his administration would move thousands of potentially endangered Afghan interpreters out of the country next month. They could wind up in a third-party country or a U.S. territory. The U.S. Geological Survey says several earthquakes rattled Northern California within minutes of each other yesterday afternoon. One measured 6.0 on the Richter scale, striking Little Antelope Valley near the Nevada border. There were no reports of injuries or significant damage. Seismic instruments indicate the earthquake originated at a depth of 6 miles. Scientists say aftershocks are to be expected. At least one measured 4.6. USGS geologist Austin Elliott.
I felt the earthquake fairly strongly. I'm in downtown San Francisco, essentially, on a relatively high floor. And I think that that may have, that certainly amplified the experience.
By 6 last evening, more than 20,000 reports had been received by the U.S. Geological Survey website. Shaking could be felt from the San Francisco Bay Area to the east of Carson City, Nevada. The most damage accounted for so far was a rock slide in Colville in Mono County, California. A portion of Highway 395 was closed in the area due to the rock slide. Pfizer is seeking clearance from U.S. regulators in the coming weeks to distribute a booster shot of its COVID-19 vaccine to heighten protection against infections as new virus strains rise. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
In parts of the Midwest and upper mountain states, CDC's early sequence data suggests the Delta variant accounts for approximately 80% of cases. Although we expected the Delta variant to become the dominant strain in the United States, this rapid rise is troubling.
Pfizer and its partner, BioNTech, said they'll seek authorization for the third shot based on encouraging initial study data. The company said the data showed that a booster shot given at least 6 months after the second dose produced antibodies protective against the original strain of the virus and a more recent strain known as Beta. It isn't clear, however, whether vaccine experts would recommend that most people receive a third booster shot if one was authorized by the FDA. Coming up next, an eyesore
being removed today near the U.S. Capitol. Enjoy a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies' Black Friday in July event. Get amazing savings with up to 50% off high-performance computers and tech built for business, and be able to take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, get great offers on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. And speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. The remaining temporary fencing installed around the Capitol in the aftermath of the January 6th riot will likely be dismantled starting today. More from Chris Chaffee, congressional reporter at CQ Roll Call. Chris, what's it like right now?
If you were standing in Washington today facing the Capitol, you would be seeing this big, tall fence. It's, I guess they sort of, it's not like a chain link fence. It's like a fence that's like almost on, they make it so it's like you can't get your fingers in the little the link. So it's like an unscalable fence. And it's pretty tall. You know, if you stand next to it, it's taller than me, and it kind of runs around the Capitol Square. So, you know, normally where there's like the green area in front and behind the Capitol, you can't access it unless you have a credential that will let you get on the Capitol campus. But in a few months ago, there were two rings of fencing. There was one that kind of went as if, like, if you stood at Union Station and kind of like looked towards the Capitol, you'd actually see a big ring of fence with razor wire on it. And basically that outer and much larger fencing perimeter was removed in March, and they took the razor wire down, and now they're going to take down this second smaller fence kind of like closer to the building starting this weekend. My understanding is that it will start being dismantled, according to the House Sergeant at Arms. Mm-hmm. And weather permitting, they say it'll take about 3 days.
Okay. But just because the fencing is coming down doesn't mean there won't be any restrictions, right? Some are still in place. How so?
Right. That's right. So, you know, there's still not going to be public tours, and there's still going to be on a security alert that if the conditions warrant, the architect of the Capitol can kind of reinstall that fence to put it back up. But yeah, like, unless you have a press credential or you're a staff member or you're a member of Congress or like a member of the support staff that, you know, does anything from custodial work to janitorial services or something like that, food services, you're probably not going to be in the Capitol anytime soon. Hmm. However, the Library of Congress, which is part of the Capitol complex, is starting to give tours again or let people in sort of in a ticketed service starting, I believe, next week. And so some things are starting to open slowly. But yeah, unless you're like on an official business with a member and you're a member of the public, they're not opening that to visitors like general public yet.
Yeah. We're speaking with Chris Chaffee, congressional reporter at CQ Roll Call. He's written a piece entitled "Remaining Capitol Fencing Will Come Down as Early as Friday." On a slightly different note here, with regards to Capitol Police and everything that happened on January 6th, you said there are still funding concerns for them. Explain that.
Yeah, that's right. Last month, Senate Appropriations Chairman Patrick Leahy put out this release that warned folks that the Capitol Police could run out of funding in August if lawmakers don't approve the supplemental spending bill that the House had passed, but there were some issues with the language and in the bill, and so it did not get through the Senate yet. And so there was at one point discussions on how to make the bill more amenable to both parties, but nothing had been passed yet. So Leahy kind of, you know, sent up a flare that was like, we really need to start working on this again, or there could be, you know, serious concerns about, you know, funding for the police.
Which could mean what? That they would have to lay people off, or they wouldn't be able to do hiring that they feel they need? What could that mean if there was a funding issue?
Right. So, yeah, the salary funds would be depleted. And so it would be the police could, you know, be forced to continue delaying the purchase of like important equipment. and other not good things that, you know, you certainly don't want to happen for a police force.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Chaffee, congressional reporter at CQ Roll Call. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden says the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan after 20 years of war will conclude on August 31st, ahead of the September 11th deadline he announced in mid-April.
For those who have argued that we should stay just six more months, or just one more year, I ask them to consider the lessons of recent history.
The Pentagon says the withdrawal is already 90% complete.
Number two.
The FDA and CDC say people who are fully vaccinated do not need COVID boosters, but the agencies are preparing for booster doses if and when the science demonstrates they're needed. White House COVID response coordinator Jeff Zients says those who are vaccinated are protected from variants, including the surging Delta variant.
Virtually all COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths in the United States are now occurring among unvaccinated individuals.
The U.S. leads the world with the highest reported death toll at more than 600,000, followed by Brazil and India.
Number three.
Severe weather from Tropical Storm Elsa spurred tornado warnings in Delaware early today as the system moves over the mid-Atlantic states and into the Northeast. Rainfall totals between 2 and 4 inches and some flash floods are expected through the day up the coast and into New England. A suspect has been charged in the triple homicide that killed pro golfer Gene Siller on Saturday in Kennesaw, Georgia. Brian Roden faces 3 counts of murder, 3 counts of aggravated assault, and 2 counts of kidnapping. Many of the details surrounding the case remain unclear. Police say they found Siller's body on the green at the Pine Tree Country Club with a gunshot wound to the head, and also found the bodies of 2 other men who were shot in a pickup truck on the golf course. During a news conference yesterday, officials did not offer additional details about why the crime occurred, but previously said Siller was shot after he happened upon a crime in progress. It was a stark atmosphere for most sports in the U.S. this past winter, and now it will be quiet at the Olympics as well. Organizers are banning all spectators from the games after Japan declared a state of emergency meant to curb a wave of new COVID infections. The games are slated to start on July 23rd.
Wonder what that means for TV ratings. Coming up next, tips for your European vacation. In the sport of business, we're all players, and with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Thanks for joining us. Europe has finally swung open its door to American tourists for the first time since March 2020. But how hard is it to get there? And once you've landed, how do you cross the continent's many borders? Is California's digital vaccination record going to ease your way past COVID checks in Paris? Will New York's Excelsior Pass get you preferential treatment in Rome? Eric Silvers at the Wall Street Journal has some things to consider about a European vacation. He's based in Milan, Italy. Eric, what should we know?
Well, I mean, this is obviously not a normal year. I mean, we had hoped that we'd be fully clear by the summer, but it's, you know, obviously we're not, both there in the States and both in Europe where I am right now. So I would say the first thing is that if you really want to come, and I mean, it can definitely work, but you have to keep in mind it's not a normal year. So you're going to have to do a little bit more planning than usual, be more flexible than usual, and probably get travel insurance, you know, because, you know, you might be vaccinated, but, you know, who knows? You know, I've heard of people, I mean, we've all heard of people who are vaccinated and then they come up positive, you know, right? I mean, they don't end up sick, but, yeah. You know, they're carrying the virus. You know, that could ruin, you know, thousands of dollars of tickets, you know, and maybe you've got a small kid who's not vaccinated. So, you know, I think travel insurance probably makes sense. And another thing I would say is that, you know, obviously Europe is a long way away from the States, especially, you know, from the West Coast. So people tend to come and they tend to hit a few countries or even 4 or 5 countries. I feel like this is the year that if you're going to come, it would make sense to concentrate on one country, because, you know, once you get in, you know, often in the States, we think of Europe as like one monolith. But I mean, obviously, it's a lot of different countries. So if you're jumping around, there's always a chance to, you know, you're going to get stuck at the border. You're going to have some problem, you know, because of, you know, some COVID test or, you know, who knows what.
Yeah. All right. So COVID paperwork say that we've gotten in the U.S., you know, a little piece of paper we carry in our wallets that says we're fully vaccinated. Does that work, or does that mean anything in Europe?
No, absolutely nothing here. I mean, it means absolutely nothing to the Europeans. In fact, you know, it's been derided, you know, by Europeans, also by parliamentarians in the European Parliament. Because, I mean, if you take a step back, I mean, I remember people were tweeting photos of it and stuff, and everybody was proud of it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, why not? But if you take a step back and you look at it, I mean, it doesn't seem very official, right? It looks like, you know, I could probably, in 10 minutes, I could try to forge something like that.
Sure.
You know, what the European Union had been asking for was one federal sort of pass from the U.S., you know, like the COVID pass, but something that, you know, was a little bit more official. For example, here they've come up with something that has a QR code. You know, the signature gets verified, so it's a bit more serious. It looks difficult to forge. I mean, obviously, if somebody wants to, you know, they could. I'm not sure, how much that would make sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, more or less anybody can get vaccinated if they want to. But, you know, they just wanted something that was a little bit more serious. You know, of course, there in the U.S., the whole privacy question is a bit more on the front table. So I think that's probably why in the U.S. we haven't seen like a federal, like, you know, something like the CDC vaccination card, but, you know, a little bit more, you know, with a QR code or a chip or, you know, something.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Silvers, reporter at the Wall Street Journal from Milan, Italy. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Apply today for a fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan, and you could save thousands in interest. Go to lightstream.com/deal. As guests everywhere stare down a summer that's jam-packed with essentially 2 years' worth of weddings in one summer, on one hand, they feel grateful. Grateful to be traveling again and partying with friends. On the other hand, they also describe a creeping sense of wedding fatigue. They feel physically exhausted, mentally taxed, and of course, financially strained. More from Ashley Fetters, feature reporter at The Washington Post. Ashley set this up.
During the pandemic, obviously, a whole year's worth of weddings had to be canceled. And one really popular solution here in the U.S. was to just, you know, push the whole wedding to the same date or the same day a year later. So, you know, the 2021 wedding season is sort of two wedding seasons in one. All these weddings that were going to take place this summer anyway, plus the ones that were postponed from last year. So for people who love weddings, it's great news, but there is this particular crop of people, largely people in their late 20s, you know, statistically when people are getting married in the U.S., like, whose calendars are just completely saturated with weddings. The doors to their refrigerators are completely papered over with save the dates and invitations. They're traveling every weekend. And yeah, I spoke to a handful of people about this, all of whom were obviously 28, 29 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, while they were excited to be attending weddings again and like going places at all, they did describe this sense of wedding fatigue that was starting to creep in.
I can only imagine. So you open the story with this 29-year-old guy from Louisville who's saying yes to about everything, where he seems to be going like back-to-back-to-back weekends at times. What's it like for him?
Oh my gosh. I mean, hearing him talk about it, it was exhausting to even hear the stories. You know, what he described was having 10 weddings to attend this year and something like 3 or 4 suits, for example. Like, he said he has to think through, like, okay, who is at this weekend's wedding? Did they see me in this suit last week? And, you know, things like that. And he was also describing, you know, he doesn't have a vacation day every week to travel for a Saturday wedding. So sometimes he will work all day on Friday, fly in or drive in on a Friday night, get in late to wherever the wedding is, and then just kind of do his best to rally on Saturday. And then the Saturday party obviously goes late into the night. So he comes back on Sunday night and, you know, has to go back to work on Monday morning, still just exhausted. And there's just really no time for people who have this many weddings all kind of end to end to really catch up.
Right. Wow. We're speaking with Ashley Fetters, feature reporter at The Washington Post. She's got a story entitled, Good News, the Weddings Are Back On. Bad News, you have to go to all of them. How about COVID concerns for some of these folks running around all these weddings? Have they expressed any of that?
Yeah, I did talk to one woman who is, you know, that's kind of the top of her concern list this year is, she's still really concerned about COVID risk. And she mentioned something really interesting. She said that she went to her first of 8 weddings last month in June and, was so exhausted and had such a headache the next few days that she wasn't sure, like, am I just not used to going to weddings anymore? Am I just exhausted or did I get COVID? And, you know, that's just a new set of concerns that we're not used to dealing with. You know, I think we all know what it feels like to be back at work after a whirlwind wedding weekend on a Monday morning. But, you know, with the added risk of, you know, did I contract a disease? it heightens it a lot.
Is there a feeling among some that they are obligated to say yes, even if they don't want to, just because of the nature of, I don't know, maybe feel bad for, a couple that postponed from last year?
I think that's certainly part of it. And I do think, you know, I do think there's a phenomenon happening where, you know, save the dates and invitations, you know, go out 6 months and about 6 weeks ahead of the wedding, respectively, right? And you look back 6 months ago, did anyone have anything on their calendars? I certainly didn't. Yeah. And so it was like, if I'd gotten 10 weekend invitations and I hadn't done anything for a year, and I had no plans, I'd be like, heck yeah, I'm going to all these. I'm going to all these weddings.
So you referenced the one guy worried about if he had an appropriate number of suits so he could change his look. I mean, listen, I'm married. I understand the female perspective here. What about managing those expenses, too, from a guest perspective?
There's a real financial strain aspect to this for sure. All the traveling adds up really fast. Hotels are expensive. Flights are expensive. Even driving gets expensive if you do it a lot. You know, there's also wedding gifts to think about, sometimes bachelor and bachelorette parties. Yeah, one guy I spoke to said that, yeah, he and his girlfriend are just knowingly racking up credit card debt to be at all 10 weddings they're invited to this year, which, you know, that's a sad state of affairs, I think. But, you know, like you're saying, wardrobe is another big thing. One guy I talked to really downsized his formal wear because he wasn't going to work during the pandemic. And then suddenly when these invitations started rolling in, he had to kind of re-up his wardrobe. And, you know, I spoke to one woman who said she was, like, renting dresses from Rent the Runway summer. Another woman was limiting herself to 4 new dresses worn twice each over 8 weddings. And that was kind of her, her way of, you know, introducing some moderation.
Thanks, Ashley. Ashley Fetters, feature reporter at The Washington Post. Coming up next, the unique food options at the Indiana State Fair. Do you love seafood when you're out to eat but never make it for yourself at home? Yeah, me too. But the key to restaurant quality at home starts with high-quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Company. With Wild Alaskan Company, you're getting high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood delivered right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. Money back if you're not happy. I went with the Wild Combo Box. Fired it up on the grill with a little garlic, lemon, and parsley. It was like sitting at some dockside restaurant in the last frontier. Each piece of fish was individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is always wild, never farmed or modified, and contains no antibiotics. It's how nature intended it. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's summer, and that means, thankfully, the state fairs are returning. And to this crew, that can mean only one thing: food. And despite being a full 3 weeks away, we're ready to ditch our diets right now for what's set to be offered up to eat at the Indiana State Fair this year. The fair starts on July 30th and is touting 23 new food items, some of which need to be seen to be believed, or maybe tasted to be believed. For example, there's the Barbecue Sugar Mama, featuring pulled barbecue turkey served between two donuts. There's the Buttermilk Waffle Witch, made with two buttermilk waffles grilled with American cheese inside. For the sweetest of sweet tooths, there's the Fruity Pebbles Funnel Cake. And if you're looking for a little bit of everything in your meal, look out for the Winner Winner Chicken Dinner, which is creamy mac and cheese and coleslaw topped with popcorn, chicken, and chives and served in a waffle cone bowl.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's just like a week's worth of meal right there. That's not bad.
You would, I mean, you know, you and I would hit that hard, but we'd need to be there all day. You know, yeah. We'd need to arrive at 10:30,
right.
Eat something, walk for 2 hours, eat something else, keep walking.
And eventually be carried home, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but we need like designated drivers or something.
Mm. The barbecue sugar mama.
Yeah.
That just, wow.
The sweet and the savory situation there, yeah, with the donuts.
The pulled barbecue turkey between two donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All day.
That's the starter. That's the appetizer, I think. And then we move on to the winner chicken dinner. That's how we finish things off.
What was the other one? You got waffles with cheese?
Yeah, like a grilled cheese made of waffles. Yeah, that's a nice midday snack.
Oh, that's good stuff.
And a follow-up to a story we told you about earlier this week, Kara has been found. Kara, you might remember, isn't the name of a missing person, but rather a 12-foot Burmese python that escaped her enclosure and forced an aquarium and a mall in Baton Rouge to close for several days while officials tried to track her down. The aquarium now says that Kara was hiding where they thought she might be, somewhere in a wall or ceiling space, and posted video footage showing a worker carrying her out of a large hole cut into a high wall. Aquarium workers believe Kara escaped from her exhibit Monday night through brute force, bending through a corner of her tank. Snake trackers and experts were brought in to help search for Kara after Baton Rouge police and firefighters failed to find her, and the aquarium even brought in night vision and motion sensor cameras.
Oh, wow.
But we said this at the time, that we didn't know exactly what help the firefighters were going to be in this situation. It didn't really make a lot of sense for them to be looking for Kara, because you kind of need a snake expert in this kind of situation.
Man. Yeah, I watched the video of them bringing the snake out of that hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And climbing down a ladder.
Right.
With the guy essentially pinching the snake's neck.
Yeah.
As he's climbing down the ladder, I would have fallen and broken my neck for sure.
Yeah, you can imagine the snake weighs a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
12-foot python probably is pretty heavy and awkward to carry down a snake, a live snake like that.
12 feet.
Yikes.
Thank you, Mike. Enjoy a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Black Friday in July event. Get amazing savings with up to 50% off high-performance computers and tech built for business, and be able to take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, get great offers on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. And speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today. Thanks for being with us. The economy faces the unusual challenge of possibly being too strong for its own good. There's the paradox of the fastest growth in generations at more than 6%, yet also persistent delays for anyone trying to buy furniture, autos, and a wide mix of other goods. For example, a story in USA Today says people used to go to Valley View Farms north of Baltimore to buy 5 tomato plants and end up with $5,000 in patio furniture. This year it's different. After a record burst of sales in March, the showroom floor is almost empty of outdoor chairs, tables, and chaises for people to buy. The store's been waiting 6 months for a shipping container from Vietnam full of $10,000 worth of wicker and aluminum furniture. I think it's actually $100,000. Half the container has already been sold. By showing customers photographs, the container should have arrived in February, but it reached U.S. waters on June 3rd and has just docked in Long Beach, California. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Tropical storm Elsa is powering its way up the East Coast. An unrelenting weather system that claimed one life in Florida, injured several people in Georgia, and flooded parts of New York City this morning. Tropical storm warnings are in effect along the coast from North Carolina to Massachusetts.
Number two.
17 suspects have been detained so far in the stunning assassination of Haiti's president. And Haitian authorities say two are believed to hold dual U.S.-Haitian citizenship. Colombia's government says at least six are former members of its army. Meanwhile, interim Prime Minister Claude Joseph is calling for new elections.
When you take charge, you need to go forward with organizing elections so we can have an elected president.
The State Department says it's aware of reports that Haitian Americans are in custody, but could not confirm or comment.
Number three.
A magnitude 6 earthquake jolted both sides of the California-Nevada border, tossed boulders onto a major roadway, and was felt as far away as Las Vegas and even San Francisco, with days of aftershocks predicted. Austin Elliott is with the USGS.
The fault that this happened on is essentially a small portion of the Sierra Nevada frontal bounding fault system.
The quake occurred shortly before 4 p.m. No major damage or injuries were reported. The Biden administration has unveiled new efforts to help protect voting rights amid growing complaints from civil rights activists and other Democrats that the White House has not done enough to fight attempts by Republican-led state legislatures to restrict access to the ballot. President Biden met with civil rights leaders yesterday at the White House, while Vice President Harris announced $25 million in new spending by the Democratic National Committee to support efforts to protect voting access.
Maria, M-U-R-R-A-Y-A.
That is correct.
And with that, the correct spelling of Maria, which, by the way, is a flowering plant found in Asia. If you didn't know, I had to look that up. 14-year-old Zaila Avant-Garde of Harvey, Louisiana, was the winner of the Scripps National Spelling Bee. In the process, she became the first Louisiana resident and the first African-American to win the title in the competition's 93-year history. Avant-Garde also happens to be one of the top 8th-grade basketball players in the country and holds 3 Guinness World Records for her ability to dribble multiple basketballs at one time.
Wow.
There's an accomplished young lady.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Eighth grade. Maria. Okay, Maria. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next, men's tank tops in fashion. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for joining us. This is shaping up to be the summer of skin in men's fashion. What's in? 5-inch inseam shorts. And the Wall Street Journal says the revealing male tank top. If you spend a lot of time working out during quarantine, maybe the tank top is for you. More modest sorts, though, are layering fine featherweight tanks beneath camp shirts or even sports coats. These things can be extravagant, too, in price. Los Angeles label Amiri sells bandana-printed cashmere blend tanks with scooped armholes like basketball jerseys for $790. Want to be more obnoxious? Bottega Veneta has a woven leather sleeveless top for $4,500. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.